Today is March the 13th, 1981. This is Connie Rehn interviewing Archie Jaggi at his home about 3 miles north of Castorville. I'm interviewing for the Castorville Public Library Oral History Project B. Mr. Jaggi, we're going to start out with, I'd like to know a little bit about your family background, like where were you born and who were your parents and your family?
That's a good question.
But you don't know?
Oh, yes. I was born 3.5 miles from Castorville on the ranch.
Which direction?
Northeast. And I was born September the 12th, 1899. In those days, it was just different than what it is today.
Who were your parents?
My parents were Ammon Jaggi, Caroline. Sheerheart. I've got the wedding date, but not just now.
Well, how many children did they have? How many brothers and sisters did you have?
There were 8 children.
And are you the youngest?
I was the youngest. I was the caboose.
Now, was there a home place in vicinity where your home is here? Where was it from here?
The old original ranch headquarters was about a mile from my residence today. And when I was born, there was no doctor in town at that time. So my aunt,
and who is that? Ed's wife?
Yes.
Anna? Anna Stepanek?
Anna Stepanek, yes.
She was Ed Sherhart's wife.
Was Ed Sherhart's wife, the old Indian.
She was a midwife then?
She was a professional midwife, educated in Poland. Came here as a midwife, and during her entire life, she delivered most every child in Castorville.
Well, what years did she operate about? Did she do this midwifing? Because I have never heard anybody talk about what years that was.
Well, that was...
You were 99.
1800. And about 80. According to her age at that time.
Mm-hmm. You know when she died? Early 1900s, wasn't it?
Yes, she died in the early 1900s. But she was my aunt, and she was an individual. She made house calls from the little city of the town of Castorville to every ranch.
How did she come here?
She come with horse and buggy. And she come alone. Often she traveled as much as 10 miles or more. But many times the child was delivered before she ever got there. There was always a neighbor to help out in case the midwife didn't come.
Well, Dr. Fitzsimon wasn't here at that time?
No.
He wasn't here?
No, he first came here in 1900.
Oh, I thought he was here in the
1890s. The only doctor that I remember, the first one, was Dr. Boehm. I think his name was Ferdinand Boehm. He was the first doctor that ever gave me any medicine at the age of about six or seven years. My dad took me to this old doctor. He was a real old man at that time. And the reason I went to the doctor, I was like a dog at that time. I had what you call running fits, you know. I'd be sleepy. I'd be walking in my sleep.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so my dad took me over to the doctor, and he says, oh, in German, he says, this kid's got thick blood. I'll give him something for that thick blood. And so he said to me, he said, do you have any small medicine bottles? He says, I'd like to get some. I'll give you 25 cents a dozen if you collect them at different houses. I said, well, that's a deal, because that was my first business, you may lie. I was going to collect bottles. They were patent medicine bottles. Didn't make any difference, just so it was a clean little bottle.
Yeah.
And when we, mother, dad, and I was a little kid, the first thing I'd ask when I'd get to a neighbor, you have any bottles? So I collected bottles until I had $1.75.
Now this was for Dr. Boehm?
That was for Dr. Boehm. And that was about 1906.
Well, where did he have his practice? In Castroville? Did he live?
He had his practice right near the bridge. There was an old Incan house, I think they called it. It was between the working station, just next to the Borkman station. There was an old house.
Well, okay, between, what about the Haas house, the Valentine Haas house?
It was between the Haas house and the Johnson house, I think.
Oh.
It was...
Somewhere where Miss Alma Etter lived?
Yeah, it was this side of Alma Etter. It was a big two-story building. Uh-huh. Well, I'm surprised if you don't have pictures of it.
Well, there's a picture of the Haas house that they tore down when they built the highway.
Well, that's a different...
That's a different...
A two-story. It was built... It looked similar to the house from the parish hall.
Oh, really? Like the Carley house?
Carley house.
I remember the two-story house on where the Medina Savings is now. It was in that area. There was a two-story house.
No, there were no two-story. That was a...
Carley store.
Yeah. That was a one,
oh,
one story. And then the next building was the Hasses.
Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Dr. Boehm, you were this first person I've ever. You're the first person I've ever heard talk about him. Is he the father of like Gus Boehm and?
No relation.
Oh, no relation.
No, he was from Germany.
But he is not from this Boehm
family. Oh, no. In fact, there was a story in those days that he really wasn't a real doctor. He probably was like the first ones were. First they were
self-educated.
Veterinary doctor, and from there they...
Well, I didn't know. I thought he was
the ancestor?
Oh, no, he was of no relation. No.
Well, did he live in Castro? Was he married?
Yeah, he was an old bachelor.
Oh, a bachelor.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of long ago when that all happened.
But you remember Anna Stepanek, though.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And Anna, I call her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my dad has told me some interesting stories about her, about how she was.
And like, I'm glad he was the one that had that uniform.
The one that killed the Indian.
Killed the Indian and sold the whole doggone thing for about $15, which, yeah, he killed the Indian chief. Yeah. It wasn't just a regular.
Yeah.
And every 4th of July, old Uncle Ed, they said, would put that Indian uniform on, or whatever you call it, and...
whoop it up, huh?
Yeah. He was celebrating the Indian Day, or Declaration of Independence, because he helped.
Okay, Mr. Jaggy, tell me who your... let's get back to your family, and you tell me who your brothers and sisters... start with the oldest, and you tell me who your brothers...
Well, there were eight brothers and sisters. The oldest one of the girls was Molly Jaggy Schmidt. The second oldest boy, or the first oldest boy, was Philip Jaggy, Phil Jaggy. Mm-hmm. The second oldest one was Fred Jaggy. The next one was Jules Jaggy. The next one was May Jaggy Perner. Then there was Lenora Jaggy.
Who did she, oh, is that the girl that died?
No, the... there was another boy, Patrick. He was older than Nora was. So, after Patrick and Lenora, there was Archie Jaggy.
That's you.
That's me.
Were all these brothers and sisters still living at home when you grew up? Or were they already married? Some of them?
Well, I knew all of them. Except my brother Patrick. When he died, I was probably about 3 years old. I just have a faint memory of...
What did he die of? Was he...
well, he was an epileptic. But before he died, we had no screens on our house. So in summer, the doors were all open when the weather was warm. And he was laying on the floor and a skunk bit him. He could have had rabies, of course. They didn't know. We didn't know. But he was an epileptic.
Well, did he die very soon after that bite?
I wouldn't remember.
Oh, you don't remember. Okay, well, what was your dad's occupation? What did he do raise you kids?
Well, we go back to it. He was a son of Philip and Jaggy and Grandma Warnett.
And her name was Elizabeth?
I'd have to look.
Elizabeth Murray?
Murray, yeah.
Okay.
And we never knew the date they married. But what my dad said, he, according to my records, he was 4 months old when his dad got killed. He was in the Army in the service at that time. U.S. Army. And he was stationed somewhere in a post, which they called forts, but I've forgotten the name of the fort where
he was killed.
where he was. I was told that he was a baker by trade in the army. And every morning around 4 o'clock, he'd go to the post and start the fire in the kitchen to bake bread.
Well, did he ever live in Castorville?
We have no record of that.
Well, was he a landowner here?
Yes.
He was. This is Philip Jaggy, your grandfather you're talking about.
He
was.
In fact, he owned about 1 acre of land in the Wernard Garden that was on my grandfather's name, plus 2 lots where Elmer Grove lived. And that was all that was on his name. Uh-huh. The reason there wasn't, he owned quite a bit of property before he was killed.
Here?
In Castorville? Oh, yeah. Or he had the money. Anyway, after his wife, my grandma, passed away.
He passed away.
Why, she married John B. Wernick. Uh-huh. And then the land that was purchased or transferred over to the Wernicks.
Mm-hmm. Well, did he own the ranch, your grandfather, Philip? Did he own the ranch that you lived on? Or was that just Almond?
They both owned, each one owned the same amount of this property. Half of it was purchased by John B. Wernick. And my dad, after they were married, bought the same ranch we're on today.
Oh.
And there was a deal between my grandfather, or step-grandfather, between him and my dad, that he would give him 40 acres of land, which was known as the Felix Place. An old Frenchman by the name of Felix owned that property, and Mr. Grandpa Wernick bought it and then gave it to my dad for taking care of his livestock. Mm. They fenced the property. It was not fenced. Mm-hmm. And the agreement was just a verbal agreement. Mm-hmm. Several years later, after Phil, Molly, and Fred were born, why, my dad got orders to move the house, the homestead where I was born in, was at one time located on the old Felix Place. Today it's part of Robert Burroughs' property.
So they moved the homestead to where Cecil lives now?
Yes. Of course, there was part of it added on to it.
Okay, so Cecil, Fred's wife, lives in the old home place.
She lives in that old house, and I was thinking about that old house today, that there is an old antique house that was built almost at the same time when those houses in Castorville were built.
Oh, really? That long ago?
I'm 81 years old, and that was an old house when I was born. And it was...
A log house or what?
No, it was a lumber house, 1x12. Yeah. No ceiling, mm-hmm. Just a 1x12 with a little piece of lumber over the crack. And it's still there today. The original house is still there. And it's as old as some of your rock houses that are in
Texas. Really?
Absolutely.
That's pretty unusual that a frame house would last that long.
And the first coat of paint that house had was in 1916. And I helped apply.
What kind of paint did you use?
It was a...
Was it white?
It was gray.
Oh, gray.
The color was, but it was a lead paint.
Yeah, lead
you know,
paint.
It wasn't, yeah. the kind of pain
they have today.
And one, since that, my brother Fred and his wife had it painted one time.
Oh.
The outside. And there's still some pain on it.
Yeah. Such good pain, yeah. Well, but your dad then basically was a rancher, huh?
Yes.
Did he farm also?
Well, we'll go back to the beginning.
Okay.
At the age of 10 years old, he was going to school. He attended school for 1 year. And his stepbrothers and sisters outnumbered him at home. So there must have been a feud between them, because he took off. He was what I'd call a runaway. He left home and went to work for John Inkin on the ranch. And he was paid $15 a month plus board and room and clothes. Mm-hmm. And he stayed up and learned the ranching business
from
John Inkin. And he remained with him until he was full grown. Then he went in business with his stepfather as a freighter. They followed the freight line. And later he purchased a wagon and mules and joined the freight line and hauled freight. And after that, he married and bought this property, built a house on somebody else's property, was forced to move it onto his property with the help of some good neighbor, Mr. Joseph Burl, uh-huh. Another man that came from Germany. He was no Alsatian. Uh-huh. His wife was Alsatian. She was a Haiti.
Yeah, the Burls came from Aldorf, though, that same place the Reeds came from, and that's in Alsace.
But he spoke
German.
Absolutely German.
Uh-huh. Well, possibly ancestors had come from Germany.
Yeah. Well, he came from Germany.
He came from Germany.
Yeah, his ancestors were over in Europe. Uh-huh. But what part of Europe, I would not know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all that problem. And, of course, my dad was left alone then. I mean, as far as in his father's inheritance, that was all gone.
Uh-huh.
Because at the age of 21, he demanded his half interest in the Jagged property. But his mother said, He received a letter from a lawyer, and my dad couldn't read.
Oh, he couldn't?
No, he just went to school 1 year. So he took the letter and gave it to his mother. And she took it and went upstairs with it. The same building across from the
City Hall.
So she told him then that he don't have to worry. He'll get his part like all the other children. But in the meantime, she passed away, and so did his property. It never did come materialize. So that still didn't break him, because he had enough energy to.
Well, how did he make his living then? Raising cattle?
Raising cattle and farming.
Farming.
Yeah.
Did all of you children farm too then?
Oh, yes. I started out in the ranching business when I was about 16 years old. Mm-hmm. I was still working for the estate. See, in those days, as long as a boy was single, he had to work for the estate because we had debts, I mean, our parents, on land that they bought.
Uh-huh.
All we
and
got...
all the children had part of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We were working for a big company, but we wasn't getting paid right at that time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was then about the age of 15 or 16 years old. And we had this rancho out on where 1604.
That's about 15 miles east of here?
Yes, it was about 16 miles west of San Antonio. Uh-huh. And we were on the west side of 1604. We had 1,010 acres. And that's where I got in the ranching business.
Oh, you went over there and worked by
well,
yourself?
My dad... See, my mother passed away in 1915, but before that, in summer, I spent all the time I had. My vacation was on the ranch with my daddy. I was pumping water, going around with the two mules or horses on a horsepower from morning till night, in place of having a gasoline engine to run the pump. You had to go around in circles all the time. And I done that until I got about 16 years old.
You pumped the water with those two mules?
Yes.
For the cattle?
For the cattle and for the water wheel.
Oh.
We just had a camp out there. We spend the weekdays there, and Saturdays we come to the old ranch.
Well, now, did you have a windmill?
Yes, but in summer there wasn't no wind.
This is when there wasn't any wind.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And so I finally decided one day I lost my temper. And I've tried everything. I'd ride on the darn horsepower or whatever you called it. I'd get dizzy. I'd walk. And the minute I didn't follow the horses or mules, they'd stop. And I got where I learned how to cuss. And I cussed a little too much and lost my temper and hit one of the horses too hard, and they took off. And they broke everything. The whole thing was all in pieces. And I still think my dad saw from the little camp house what on top.
Saw what was going on.
Saw what was going on. Anyway, I thought, well, I'm going to get it. I'm going to go tell him what happened. Then when I got to him, he said, what happened? I said, everything. I lost my temper, and I just hit that horse too hard, and they tore up everything. And he kind of smiled at me. And I thought, that is the first time in my life I seen him smile when I done something wrong, because he was... believed in teaching discipline, because what I mean, you either done it or you didn't. And anyway, he kind of smiled and he says, well, like Ronald Reagan says, well, I think we'll go to hitch up the horses and drive to San Antonio. I know an old man, a man his age that has a hardware store. And he told me he had a gasoline engine. And he says, well, we're going to get it. I says, well, that's the best news I ever heard.
So you got modern there, huh?
So we got real modern.
Well, did you ever live anywhere but the ranch house?
Oh, yes. I lived in San Antonio.
How long did you live at the ranch after you were born? How long did y'all live there?
We lived there until, I guess, Fred and Cece got married.
And that was 99.
And my mother was a diabetic. And she was ill. So we moved. I lived in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 different houses.
In Castro?
My mother lived there. But my dad and I were gone all week, you know.
To the other ranch?
To the ranch, yes.
Or this ranch? The ranch where you
lived? This one, well, we had the other one at the same, had two ranches.
Yeah, two ranches.
First ranch.
Was living on the home ranch.
Yes.
And then you all would just come there to work,
yeah.
Huh?
And we also, before we bought this ranch over on 1604, we own 640 acres. Part of it is under the water.
At Medina Lake?
Medina Lake.
Oh.
And there was a log cabin. And I spent my first few years with my dad and mother. During the week, they'd take me up there when I was a kid. In fact, I was there in 1900 when that flood was. Although I was only born in 1899, but I was there with my parents.
Well, what were they doing there, living?
They lived during the week, you know.
Working on that,
had a little field, too.
But you remember that?
I don't remember that when the flood was.
But I remember that log cabin.
Oh, yeah. I could draw.
But now it's under the water.
Yeah, it's been under there since 1912.
Was that a log cabin that they built, or was it there before?
It was there before.
Was that a treat to you to go up there to that place?
Oh, my. I was.
Because of the prettiness of the country up there?
Yes. And
or why?
As much of a thrill I got out of going there, but I was more like a wild person. I was scared of certain. The thing that scared me the most was at the age of about 6 years, or maybe only five. We had a bale of my dad was raising cotton. He took me along.